Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro Call. Today is June 18th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotorVitality on any podcast application that you happen to use, or by going to MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of the archives. Welcome, everybody. And we'll start to call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that they wish they had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country? Or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have that we can help with?
I do have a question.
Sure, Stacy, go ahead.
I never ran across this before, but yesterday I went on an inspection check. And there was green liquid in the softener. Apparently, the guy poured a bottle of lime away in his softener. My question is, will it eventually wash out, or is it going to be caustic to drink because all the water in the house is on the softener?
Ooh, that is a really good question. So why did he pour lime away directly in his softener?
In the brine well.
In the brine tank itself, okay.
In the float well to try to clean it out because it wasn't getting rid of all the iron.
Interesting.
So then when they couldn't get it to wash through, I think there's a bad valve. I don't think it's drawing brine, but the water tested soft. With a half person bleed through, but I couldn't get it to draw brine, and the float well, the water's all green.
Yeah, that's one that I'm going to hesitate to say, would the water be safe to drink on, because I don't know what the ingredients of lime away is.
Yeah.
My guess is that it's going to be much the same as a lot of the, you know, like the iron outs and stuff like that. That's my guess. I mean, you know, when you pour that rust out, you know, into the brine tank, and suck it through there, then it will clean the resin out. You know, it's gonna do that. And I would suggest backwashing the heck out of it.
Well, that's what I explained, if they can get it. But I couldn't even get it to draw brine.
There's other issues, man. I mean, you know, there's other issues with the softener than just yeah. that. But even just to backwash it multiple times, you know, when you get, the thing is, and most of you know this, some of you may not, but water softener water, you know, I mean, we all have heard this right from the very beginning. Well, I don't want to be drinking salt in my water, or my water tastes salty after that. Well, there are two things, in my opinion, that will cause somebody to say that their water tastes salty after a water softener. And I'm coming back to the how this relates to the lime away thing there, Stacy. But the two things that would cause their water to taste salty is, number one, it's not rinsing, you know, the final rinse when it's rinsing all the brine off is not doing, it's not rinsing long enough. So they've got residual salt. And so, you know, the solution to that is to have it rinse longer so that it rinses, does a better job of rinsing all the excess salt off. The water should not taste salty out of a softener. The other reason somebody will say that their water tastes salty is the psychological part of knowing that, not understanding how the system works and how it functions, and knowing that they're putting salt in a brine tank and that it has something to do with the water they're drinking. And so, you know, and maybe they read something one time, they don't understand the difference between sodium and salt, you know, and so sometimes it's people get convinced that their water tastes salty. Those are really the only two reasons. When the softener is doing its job and everything is rinsed off, it shouldn't really have a tremendous, I mean, it's going to take out the iron. It's going to take out the iron in the water and the iron can have a metallic metally taste. I mean, it should take that out, you know, so that's going to change the taste of the well water from metallic well water to non iron water. So it can have an impact on the flavor and the taste of the water, but as long as the system is rinsing itself properly, it's not going to have it's not going to have any abnormal effects on it. My guess is that as long that it needs to backwash, it needs to rinse, it's going to do the same things it does with the salt. I mean, eventually rinse that stuff off. And if there's any adverse flavor or chemical flavor or anything like that, or smell first and foremost, would be the answer. My suggestion to you, though, would probably err on the side of caution. Recommend that they get a new water softener.
and
especially a reverse osmosis system where that has no impact at all. So
I can explain that to them, and they're thinking about it. She was kind of shocked at the price because she thought she could buy four of what they of the Whirlpool they had for what I was going to charge. Apparently, her husband actually spent $1,000 on that Whirlpool to buy it and have it installed, and she didn't realize that.
It's interesting. That's kind of what our conversation is going to be about today is. Kind of price versus quality and stuff like that. So that's kind of interesting that you said that. So, the short answer is that I don't know, and I'd be hesitant to tell somebody for sure. That it would be fine to drink. I really don't know what the ingredients are.
Well,
but the long
that was what I told her. I said, I'd be leery about whether or not it's potable water.
Yeah.
I said, I would suggest bypassing it and dealing with the iron for right now until you get something replaced or you can get that flushed out. I said,
get an article. You can drink that. So, go ahead. I'm sorry. I think we got a slight delay. Go ahead.
Oh, that's what I told her. I would bypass it and not drink it.
Yeah.
If they can't get it to regenerate.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything? Anything happened this week? Super exciting. That worthy of sharing.
Kelly, I have a quick.
Yeah. Go ahead.
A request. If anybody has a CRM, a customer relations management program, that they absolutely love for their sales team, I'm not looking for the aspect where it invoices and as a service or anything like that. Just simply something that when they're out, you know, prospecting, new construction and just keeping track of all of their customers and their potential customers. And then that includes a mapping system so that when they go ahead and they wake up in the morning, they can look at what their plan is for the day and it sets everything up on a map. That would be awesome. You could just email me or text me or call me or mail, whatever. Just looking for different ideas on the platform that we're working with right now. It was used. It was not for sales prospecting. So anybody has a good idea? I know we've used Salesforce in the past. They've been pretty good, but pretty expensive.
So we've used Zoho.
How many good? Three to four. I would say Zoho's been pretty good, but it's been a while since I've delved in there to see if it has the map option. And then I've heard a couple other people talk about like Verizon something. There's been a few other ones, but anybody that knows that has experience and loves it, you know, or works really good. You know, I don't know there is one out there yet that anybody absolutely loves. I am open to suggestions and would appreciate them.
Yep. Good. Okay. Perfect.
Is there anybody, unless there's anybody on the call that has, I know we have a lot of people that are, they come on later, so, or listen later. Anybody? Okay. That was it.
All right. Anybody else have anything before we hop into our topic here?
Oh, I do. I want to officially welcome Brian Perry to, he's our newest MV Pro. He's working with Advanced Water Treatment in here in Michigan, and doing very well. This is towards the end of his second week, and I'm very, very impressed with with everything that he's doing and his excitement for the industry. So everybody all together, say, welcome, Brian.
Welcome, Brian. All right. Well, that worked out real well, Jen.
You're so good
at leading these parties. You're awesome.
Can you tell I was a cheerleading coach? I mean, yeah, everybody at once.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now I just pictured that, like, current Jen, like right now in the cheerleading outfit, and I can't get it out of my head. But the current Jen, that's just the I didn't know you back then, but it's like me and you, cheerleaders, me and you wearing your cheerleading outfits from back then.
I was the
anyway,
coach.
We should probably move forward.
We'll move past this before it's getting too kinky. Just let's get into
the topic. Thank you. All right. So I wanted to talk about, I was having a conversation yesterday with one of our MB pros, one of the sales professionals that I was working with, and we were talking about kind of being a detective when you go into the house. And it is not uncommon to hear somebody when you're talking about price. And, you know, so I'm going through and I'm looking at the cost per contracts and the dollar amounts, you know, that the sales volume, right? So there's always this line that we have to balance between making it their story, making sure that we are presenting what you know, that we're selling what the customer needs and what they want, but also making sure that we are encouraging them to go with higher quality. I mean, we are sales professionals and we make more money, the company makes more money, and the customer has a better quality product when we can sell the better quality stuff. I think sometimes we tend to go almost too far in the direction, so far in the direction of just letting the customer guide us on what they want to spend, that we forget to be the professional making recommendations for accessories or quality that they might be interested in if they knew about them. Okay. So this comes into play in two different areas. And I was reminded of this in a conversation I was having yesterday. The first is in system sales, right? So customer, you know, you take a look at the numbers. When I say system sales, I mean double multi-units, right? So a softener and a reverse osmosis system, for example, where, you know, you want to sell both. And you can look at the numbers and start to see the system sales numbers drop sometimes. And it's always funny because a new person who comes in, somebody who's brand new, you teach them how to sell the entire system. You teach them how to sell the, you know, to talk about total water management. And the one question that I love asking, which is, you know, you get the water that goes on you and water that goes in you, which would you say is a higher priority to you? And it breaches the question, you know, of what, you know, of the drinking water, because, and this was pointed out to me when I was talking to the gentleman yesterday, that, you know, I was noticing that the system sales numbers had been declining a little bit and from where they had used to be. And he said, well, you know, they're not really asking me about it. You know, they're calling me out very specifically because of a softener or because of they need the water neutralized, you know, or they've got a neutralizer and they need it replaced. You know, so it's, they know what they want when we're walking in the house. And I said, yes, that's true. But I want to point out, and I pointed out to him what I want to point out to all the rest of you on this call is that a lot of times people don't think of the drinking water part of things as being what we do. I mean, it's not related. So the whole house point of entry system that they have that addresses the acid water, the neutralizer, that seems foreign to them. That seems completely different than the bottled water that they're buying or the pitcher, the pour-through pitcher that they have, or the refrigerator filter that they're using for their drinking water. They don't put that in the same category. And so, yeah, it stands to reason that they're not going to be interested in that if they're not relating it. I can tell you when I was in sales, I learned this lesson the hard way by not, you know, there were times where I would kind of do the same thing because I wanted it to be the customer's story. I'd talk to them and I'd go out and do the follow-up and I would see this whole other reverse osmosis. You know, I'd do the follow-up on the softener. Would have sold the softener. And then when I went to do the follow-up, I'd seen that they had a competitor's reverse osmosis system put in. I'm like, why did you put that in? Oh, you guys do that? I didn't realize you did that. That was something totally, and shame on me for not making it clear that that's what I did, for making the assumption that all they wanted, because that's what they asked me out for, was a softener. That's what we talked about. Shame on me for not doing a better job diagnosing that problem. You know, often I refer back to a doctor, and, you know, if you go in for a checkup and you've got this actually happened to me when I had an incident it wasn't a checkup, but it was I had an incident a few years back. Jen, you'll remember this, and a few other people that have known me a long time will know that I was helping a friend of mine cut down a tree, you know, some trees in his backyard, and one of them fell on me and rolled down, and it crushed my leg and my foot.
About that? My God.
What's that? What?
I said, you're still crying about that? My God.
Oh, Tony, hell, you're there. Yeah, Tony threw a, did I say friend? Did I say friend? This is the guy, did I say friend? I meant this one guy that I used to like that threw a tree on my head.
I still
stop
that.
Yeah, when we went to the hey Tony. So when we
Tony,
when
I was so sad I happened to jump on this call.
So anyway, when I went to the hospital,
I've heard Kelly's version for years.
Yeah. All right. Here come all the a tree fell on his head joke. Got it. Let's save that because I'm trying to make a point here, guys. So. Be nice to me. So anyway, when I went to the hospital, it was very clear that my foot was broken. And they did the x-ray on my foot. Tony, you probably remember this too. They did the x-ray on my foot. And yep, the foot's broken. But the x-ray, they didn't go up to my leg. I mean, they didn't continue to do the thorough checkup on everything. And it was 2 days later they had to bring in, I kept telling them, I think something else is going on here. It was 2 days later that they brought in a portable x-ray machine and x-rayed my leg, and they were like, oh yeah, your leg's broken too. And that's kind of the point here. If we are going to be professional, even though there was an obvious problem, you walk out to the house and you see an obvious problem with rust, with staining, with hardness, with that type of thing, if we focus so much on only treating that and forget to diagnose the other problems that they might have in the house, we're doing a real disservice. Unfortunately, unlike the doctors get paid. they got paid for all of that without any, you know, we don't, because the customers, they don't know about it. They don't, a lot of times they're not going to call us and do the drinking water, you know. Bob, if you're on the call, I know there was one you told me about where the customer asked you, you know, towards the end, you know, is this water going to be good to drink? And you said, well, yeah, we, you know, but we could put in a drinking water system. And they were like, yeah, we want that. But sometimes they do bring it up for us, but it is our job to educate them. You know, first off, we have to diagnose what those problems are. And then we have to educate them what all the solutions are, not just, you know, I can tell you that, it, from a sales professional's perspective, it's difficult to, to realize that they bought something from somebody else that I know I can sell better and maybe even less money. Although that's the second part of what I wanted to talk about here today is we definitely, it's our job to present to them the options. Now, here's the second part of that. It's also our job to present to them, remember, it's their story. Okay, so when we can't assume that they're only going to go with the least expensive system we have. And they will ask, right? You'll say, you know, they go, well, how much does all this stuff cost? And those of you who know me know that at the beginning of the presentation, that's when I encourage you to talk price. I think it's important to give them an idea of what it's going to cost. So somewhere in the, usually when you're doing the plumbing assessment, and I'm not going to go into a ton of detail over this. This is a whole nother topic. But the, when it, you know, you do the plumbing assessment and somebody, you ask that question, that those sensitive questions, you know, to find out how much they have to spend on them. They go, we don't even have any idea how much these cost. You say, well, they're going to range anywhere from, you know, depending on what you're looking for, anywhere from about $1,000 up to, you know, it could be $6,000, you know, or whatever is in your price range. That gives them the big eyes, you know, they go, whoa, $6,000, that's way more than what we were going to spend. And that's when you come back and you go, well, you know, do you have a budget in mind on what you wanted it? You know, where do you need to be? Where do you want to be, you know, with everything? So you talk that price and it gives you an idea what you're looking at. Okay, but they, Bob, I think you were telling me that you were doing that and the customer automatically jumped in and said, I want that one. That's the one I, you know, when you said the like $1,500, well, we could go, you know, $1,500 and they're like, I want that one. That's the one I want. And they, it, you know, and they immediately jump on the price. Well, that happens. That's kind of the instinct. Sometimes it's joking. Sometimes they're serious. Sometimes they walk into it thinking they want the least expensive one. But do a look around the house when you go. You know, when you're doing the plumbing assessment, do a look around the house. You know, check their medicine cabinets. Go through their bedroom drawers. See what they have. Don't do that. Don't do that part. But you, when you do drive up to the house, look at what kind of car they're driving. You know, I'm hesitant to say this. I always give Bob crap over this, but is it a Kia or is it a Mercedes? You know, is it when you look at the house, does it look like they have builder's grade stuff in their house? Have they upgraded it? Do they have Bosch appliances or do they have, Kenmore or GE? You know, not that Kenmore or GE are bad, but there's a different caliber. You know, if they have Bosch appliances in their house, they did not buy those Bosch systems on price. They didn't buy them on price. Oh, that reminds me. I gotta share something that happened on that I meant to tell everybody about Bosch. But I made a note to do that at the beginning of the call, but I'll do that in a second. Squirrel moment there, you guys. Sorry. But be a detective, look around and make sure, you know, and see if you can tell by what's in the house whether or not they are price people or quality people, you know. And if you see those Bosch appliances, you see the nicer shower heads and faucets and, you know, you see the granite countertops and or you know quartz or whatever is there, they may not be. I mean, maybe they are in this instance. Some people do buy on price on certain items, but it's pretty clear that that's not the only determining factor they use to buy something. And I think, by the way, this is one of the things that separates salespeople from sales professionals. Okay, salespeople are only able to sell on price. That's all they do. Oh, we can beat that price. We can definitely beat that price. They make the assumption, salespeople make the assumption that everybody buys on price, which is the stupidest thing ever, because if that were the case, you wouldn't have high-end stores. You know, you wouldn't have nicer cars. You wouldn't have, luxury apartments. You wouldn't have, it's just clear that not everybody buys on price. There are certain people who do, right? But I wouldn't even say that's most people. Real quick, let me just say this about Bosch, because this was interesting. And then I want to open this up for discussion in the last couple of minutes. Maria and I had a customer that we installed a reverse osmosis system for. That was actually your first sale, right, Maria? Is your very first one. And it was like 2.5 months ago before it was the sale right before the world went to heck and shut down. They had a Bosch refrigerator and an ice maker. And there were some problems with first off, they waited 2 months because of the pandemic for their installation. Secondly, they, you know, they had a baby, they were exhausted, they were just brand, a bunch of stuff happening during the last 2 months. And then we had a couple problems with installation, and one of the issues that they had great pressure coming out of their kitchen faucet. They had a water-on-water reverse osmosis system, so they had a great pressure coming out of their kitchen faucet, but out of the ice maker for this refrigerator, the water was just sort of trickling out really slow. It wasn't coming out at all. So I suggested getting a bypass plug for the ice maker. So I've got the reverse osmosis system, no problem. Suggested getting a bypass plug, and in fact, when I went on and actually purchased the bypass plug for them, and we delivered it to them when we took it to the follow-up. I had it delivered to them directly from Bosch. I didn't buy an aftermarket. I bought it directly from Bosch. When it came in the box, the customer said, "Hey, got the plug today." And Maria and I were scheduled to go do the follow-up the next day. And he said, "Got the plug today." And he sent me a picture of this box. And it said, first off, the labeling was in Chinese all over the box, except for one little word on the front. When you open it up, there's another box inside that the part is boxed up in. And it had this label all over on every side in big letters that says, "Warning, this product contains materials that are known to cause cancer and contribute to birth defects." And it's all over on this Bosch item. So I called Bosch because I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this is the piece that, you know, is a plug for water. And they just came out of the pandemic. They just had a baby, you know, all this stuff. That's one of the reasons they had put in the reverse osmosis system in the first place. And so I called Bosch, and the lady was automatically defensive because, you know, she said, "Nothing we can do about it. That's apparently California, anything that gets shipped through or is potentially shipped to California now is required, you know, that has any of these substances in them or that is coming from China or made in China in any way is required to put these labels on." So that was something I meant to mention at the beginning of the call, just to let everybody be aware that is what's going to happen when you get that stuff. Probably a good idea when you do that to have it shipped to your office and take the piece out if you're going to do it. But anyway, that was kind of interesting. So, all right, thoughts or comments on any of this in the last couple minutes here? Anybody? They woo you guys to sleep. Is anybody there?
We're still here.
I thought maybe for real this time I did lose you guys.
Wow.
Hey, Kelly, this is Tony.
Yeah.
To this day, when I go in a house, after going on several calls with you, I do that all the time. I'm asking them, "Are you more concerned about the water that goes in you or on you?" And I'm looking for things, again, looking if they're high-end, middle of the road, or low-end, and looking around their house can give you so much information about where their head is, and you just can't assume. I mean, I've gone into houses where you think the guy doesn't have a pot to piss and he pulls out cash under his mattress. That's true stories. And you just can't assume. So you got to bring it up. You got to let them know what you have available. And I've been in that situation too before. "Well, why didn't you get the RO from us?" "Well, we didn't know you sold them." Well, same on me for telling them. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. I didn't even think about you being on the call, Tony, when I was talking about that. God, what an incident that was. That was crazy. I walked up that daggone hill on a broken leg and broken foot too.
Well, let's give them the rest of the story. No, the ambulance person said, "We're not leaving, and you're going with us unless you can get up and walk up that hill." And if you guys would have seen the condition that he was had, with blood gushing through his head and his ankle broken, you know, Kelly's a little bit stubborn. If you guys haven't noticed or met or talked to him, but Kelly wasn't about to have them take him anywhere he didn't want to go, so he walked up the damn hill with a broken leg, broken ankle, and gushing head, and I took him to the hospital, and then we kind of got that halfway there when he's like, oh, my God, this really hurts.
Yeah, man, that was the last time I walked in months. But it wasn't being stubborn. It was that I didn't know what my insurance covered, you know. It, plus, I had kids. I had kids at home that I was supposed to get to that night. So, but I didn't know if my insurance covered the ambulance ride, and I didn't want to pay for the ambulance ride. So, anyway, that, so with that, everybody, on that happy note, God, that was a long time ago. That was like 12 years ago. Crazy.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway, on that happy note, everybody, thank you so much. I appreciate this as always. And Tony, you know, I love you lots, man. And, I will, talk to you guys next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody.
Bye.